Hello, everybody. Mariner here, and welcome to Net That Hall. I am a late substitute for Nima, who has stood us up for a better date, Gabe. How are
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I'm great. Honestly, happy for Nima, and really happy that this opened up for you as well. I think the universe conspired to make this experience happen for Nima, and so happy to be here, just us two, and we're going to review some trolls today, I think, Mariner. I can't wait to see your facial expressions on this one.
Don't go there. Another disastrous week. But first of all, I suppose we better say where he is, aren't we? He's hobnobbing with the elite at the Emirates. He's managed to get himself in a box at the Emirates tonight. Who are they playing? Jammy Gear. I don't know who they're playing. Who are they playing? I have no idea. Anyway, that's where
he is. They play Lens.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So that'll be fairly easy for him.
Probably. Not to be confused with my X handle.
FPL Lens. FPL Lens.
Yeah, no. Actually, the Planet FPL guys, when they first started, they were like in their first month, and I wrote in a question, and Suj thought I was FPL Lens from France. So no, FPL... Different ones. So, yeah, they played Lens. It's just a great experience for Nima. We're super happy for him.
Anyway, we're not jealous, are we?
A little bit.
Anyway, I suppose, without further ado, Gabe, and I'll move the slide across. I think we need to just crack on, and I think we'll just let the sorrow just eke its way out as the show progresses. I think it's the simplest way to do it. Because, I don't want to get all my rants out the way straight away. And again, if I start swearing earlier on, then we'll get adulted again. So it's better what we do is move on and then sort of like swear later. Here's a philosophy.
Well, the part of the show that you never understand, Mariner, I can see your eyes glazing over already. FPL philosophy You moved the slide for game week 14.
I was trying to read it on my little laptop in the north of England. By the way, it's cold up here. But anyway, there, carry on.
Cold up there. Well, you're in luck. I'll read it for you.
Yeah.
It comes from Werner Heisenberg. He's best known for formulating the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. He said, "What we observe is not nature itself, but nature exposed to our method of questioning." And at this, I'm hoping that everybody in the chat here, and we have several friends in the chat that we'll get to in just a moment, but people are drawing those connections to FPL because, man, we have these metrics, right? And even the metrics disagree sometimes. Your metrics asks questions differently of the stats than my metrics do, and that's why it's interesting to compare them and to kind of like see kind of where the metrics are coming from, which ultimately tell us where we're coming from, right? So, but we have to realize that we're not seeing like, here's an example, and I'm sorry, Mariner, this one's going to hurt, right? We observe that Dominic Solanke has 50% goal involvement this season, right?
Yes.
Or I'm going to score 3 goals and Solanke gets nothing. He decent XG in the game, but to show like, nature itself will reveal itself to you,
well,
and show you that maybe you just alter or question your method of questioning.
Look, sorry. Right idea, wrong outcome, right? Pretty much.
Story
right
of the season. Plan, story wrong of the season. Outcome.
Story of my life. That was Mitoma last week, brought him in, injured. This week, brought Eze in, injured. I'm going for a hat trick this week. Whoever I bring in to replace Eze, I guarantee you will get injured for next week and injured this weekend. So whoever it is, whichever Premier League player it is, I deeply apologise in advance for your time on the sideline whenever I bring you in, because that's what's going to happen. Because this season has been every transfer, bar none, I think, within a few weeks has unravelled. And it's just, Well, I don't know. I just like the guy sat on the toilet, quite frankly. So for the people who are watching on YouTube, there's a guy sat in the, or for the people in the podcast, there's a guy sat on the toilet looking forlorn, which is a bit like me on Saturday after Solanke's blank. The only thing is that I actually consoled myself by howling with laughter because it was so ridiculous. I was like, 3-0, yes! Who scored? Oh, for you, you are, what? Are you serious? Anyway, it is what it is. What to do, Gabe?
Well, I think you just gave me an idea for next week's philosophy, and it has to do with how the catharsis of laughter.
If you can't laugh, if you don't laugh, you're going to cry. You know, anyway, there we go. I've got to bring Palmer in, apparently. That's the next one. He's my boy, but he's my XG boy. Not non-penalty XG boy. But anyway, there's another story. We'll come on to that later, shall we? Right. Anyway, should we get into it? We can say hello to a few people as we go on anyway. There's a few people wanting to abuse me, which is fine. I did actually say in Twitter, come and abuse me. Come and abuse our ranks.
No, please don't tell me what my rank is.
No, but I can tell you what mine
is. You can abuse it.
I've gone back to seven figures again.
Okay, you can abuse my rank, but don't give me any indication of what it is.
I'm not going to tell you where you are. You're all right. Your matchups, Gabe. I can't see this because I'm on a tiny little laptop. So what we're going to do, we're just going to timestamp this at 6:40. And if you want to come and get Gabe's matchups, all the details, then come into the YouTube and pause it and watch our ugly faces. And at the same time, you'll be able to see all your data. Is there anything you want to say about this, or should we just dive straight into the matchups themselves, mate?
Yeah, we can just dive right in. Just like when you're coming in, like oftentimes when you look at a chart like this, it just looks like a jumble of numbers, right? First, go to the extremes and then work in from there. So in each one, go to the highest, go to the lowest, and kind of like work your way in from there. And then you'll figure it out. But that we don't have to go into it in too much detail because we're about to get into each one of these fixtures.
We absolutely are. And anyway, just to let you know, Colm, the abuse is starting to flow. Which, quite frankly, I brought it on myself. You know, good evening, gang. Any chance you can let us know who you're bringing in before the deadline, please, Chris? That's obviously so that.
You're going to put that. You can put that behind a paywall.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, Nick's trying to make me feel better. Don't worry, Chris. All the cool kids are on seven-digit ranks this season.
Okay. Nick and I are friends, so he's giving me a hint as where I am. That could be That could be 9 million.
Well, I did see. I think it might have been Adam from Above Average. I think he said that his rank's so high, his phone thinks it's a phone number. I absolutely love it. It's hilarious. Anyway, let's go. Here we go. First one. Arsenal against Wolves, Gabe. So what we'll do is we'll do your matchups, then we'll zoom to mine, and then we'll talk.
Okay.
Let's go.
So Arsenal Wolves, 1.98 net XG for Arsenal, 1.05 for Wolves. The right side lights up zonally for Arsenal here. And it's... And then it's mostly on the backs of the shots metric, which is the highest of the three metrics composing net XG. And we'll take a look at what the FDR says, Mariner.
Yeah. Okay. So,
you got it.
There we go. Here it comes. Okay. So right. So the FDR for Arsenal has 1.9 positive for attack, 1 for defense, and It likes them. I think it. I'm not sure it likes them for a clean sheet, but you never know. Hmm. That said, Wolves are in a heck of a mess, aren't they, with respect to injuries? So that 1.9 attack could be slightly better. Right side matchup, Gabe. Shots on target 5.9 is probably the standout for the matchups mm-hmm. from my side. So mm-hmm. I'll come back to your slide and then we can talk about it. So, as I said, the first thing which jumps out to me is it looks like Wolves are a bit of problems injury-wise, right? So there's a mm-hmm. there's a strong feeling to double up on Arsenal defence or maybe even go back to someone like Saka, who, quite frankly, have I got enough time? At 10 minutes 20, excellent. Shithouses his way to points when quite frankly, he shouldn't be getting any right now. What's your perspective?
Oh, well, you know, I think right off the top here, this, you know, we were just having this conversation backstage, weren't we, about ways to differentiate and how and this is a point brought up by Craig at the Man On Pod, which I listened to them this morning. And I thought it was quite interesting because I think what we see here, like, I don't know, the net XG for Arsenal is really quite high. I didn't expect it to be that high. It's whereas the FDR is pretty muted. I find it's what it was at plus one, right? The yeah. FDR.
Yeah. 1.9, but yeah, slightly.
I wouldn't be moving. I think like as we're, so this conversation I had with Craig was about that the kind of, everybody has a kind of any choice of about seven midfielders in the game. And Saka is one of those. And I think like it's getting a little bit more difficult to differentiate. I think one of those ways to differentiate 2 weeks ago was to go double Arsenal defense. And I think right now people have been starting to do that already. And people are going double Arsenal defense and Saka. So kind of the way to differentiate with Arsenal for me, Saka is, oh, I got to bring up these stats. FPL Libero shared these stats with me. Saka, I mean... there we go. No, I can't find the stats right now, but Saka, I think, has less than 0.2 XG in the last four or five or something like that.
Yeah, it's nothing. There's nothing. It's nothing. There's nothing. There is no XG at all. As Black Screen says, you know, mm-hmm. he's saying he's useless. No way he keeps it up. His points are pure luck. I mean, obviously, his points hurt me. Again,
that's the thing. He keeps hurting us. And but the thing is, so I went in a different direction. So in around when Arsenal played Newcastle, I think we said on the show that Saka was playing deeper and wider, right? And I think that's continued to happen. So I tried to differentiate and go triple Arsenal defense. That didn't work out for me because I got Gabriel that got benched the 1 week, and I also got Ben White, who mysteriously got injured after I brought him in. But I think it's maybe too late to go in that hard on Arsenal defense. I think double up right now is probably the safe way to go. But in attack, I wouldn't get any of their attackers right now. None of them.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about we'll have a look at the XGs going forward. You know, the longer range stuff later on, but I tend to agree with you. I feel like we've almost missed the boat on someone like Zinchenko, who's been nailing points quite well just recently, you know. I think that would have been a beautiful double up if you'd gone Zinchenko and Saliba, for example. But yeah, I tend to agree with you. Every time I've tried to get to double Arsenal, I've had another fire to put out because of my absolutely shocking transfers this season. So yeah. Everything's gone, you know. So as much as I want to bring players in, I'm not prepared to take hits for defenders. That's one of my rules. So, you know, how else can you do it? You've got to have that transfer in hand. And quite frankly, I just haven't got that ability to do it right now.
Yeah, and also with the understanding that Arsenal will be that they're away to Liverpool in 18 when unless you're planning on free hitting that in that game week, you know, how hard you want to go in on Arsenal right now as your, you know, the players to cover. I'm not sure. But, you know, and about Zinchenko, he's turned out to be a fantastic pick, and we know he can rack up bonus points. When I thought he was rotation prone. So, I thought Ben White was more nailed.
How little do we know? I mean, look, we've got someone on some Arsenal bloody pundit who's, you know, lording it up with the elite tonight, and he never told us to pick him, did he? Useless git.
It's a surprise to everybody. But I will say, I think I do think Raya is the best keeper in the game. I don't know what you think about that.
Possibly. I just can't. I've got so many problems. I can't make a goalkeeper transfer until a wild card.
No, I'm not saying to make a goalkeeper transfer. No. Just in general, like probably, looking back on the season.
Is. Yeah, I think it probably is.
If you were to choose any goalkeeper, I think it'd be Raya.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Yeah, tend to agree with you. Certainly better than my two articles.
Are you on Ariola Turner?
Turner Ariola and Flecken.
That's not so bad.
It is when you pick the wrong one every week. Anyway, okay. What about Wolves? What about Wolves? Full of injuries. One of the players who is, we'll maybe talk about a bit later, is Huang. Mm-hmm. He seems to be probably the only one right now absent Neto. Now Neto's out, who might be gobbling up what XG they create. We'll see that later, actually, on one of the slides. He's cheap. He's probably an option, Gabe, but I wouldn't bring him in this week.
No, you're not looking at Wolves. The thing is that there are too many other options, right? Like you gotta have Anthony Gordon. You gotta have people want you to get Palmer. You gotta have Mbeumo. Like there's three. You have Salah. There's four. Like where are you gonna?
Yeah, there is three. The only thing I would say is an odd one, but like you say, if the value in midfield now, you know, you've got Gordon and Palmer. If you own both of those, you know, you've got that opportunity to then do something with perhaps you could go three heavy strikers now, perhaps Darwin, Watkins and Haaland. So that's another little way of just doing something a little bit different. But anyway, we'll keep going. Yeah. I don't think there's much to talk about with Wolves, is there? So Brentford against Luton, Gabe. So what does your numbers say?
Brentford 1.88 net XG, kind of boosted by the expected data. And of the three metrics there, what I'm learning about net XG this season is, so obviously net XG is comprised of the creativity metric, the expected data metric, and the shots metric. And of those three, I'm finding the expected data metric to be the one that's the most reliable of those three. So I may weight them in the future, but just a side note there. What stands out for Brentford, obviously, is the right side. Brian Mbeumo stands out. But both flanks, really, I think Mbeumo does move around. So I think there could be – I mean, the thing is, Luton, just to get to the data, is 1.15 net XG with kind of everything in the red there. And 28% chance of three or more goals for Brentford. It's really high according to the shots. So that goal predictor is now matchups based. So it takes the Luton's defense and Brentford's offense in terms of that shot predictor.
That's interesting. I'll share mine. I've already ringed it whilst you were talking. The fixture ability for Brentford is 6.2. It really likes them. It's falling over itself in love with Brentford this week. That's nearly as high as it gets. 4.1 big chances on the matchups as well. 12.5 shots in the box and 3.4 headers. Ooh. So this has got goals on it for me. I think Mbeumo is I've seen he's been transferred in a hell of a lot this week. I'm not surprised. Quite frankly, I'm surprised people aren't on him sooner. Because he's been, to me, one of the standout assets of the game this season. And he just gobbles up Brentford's XG. He just gobbles it up. So I expect returns, maybe a double return from Mbeumo this week. And he is definitely in my captaincy plans.
In your captaincy plans, huh? So
yeah.
Mbeumo hamstring and injury incoming.
So he's definitely going to get injured. So better all not transfer him in. So there you go. There's the advice. Do not transfer him in because Mariner might captain him. Might.
I transferred him in on Sunday.
Good man. What's your perspective of the game itself, Gabe? I mean, first things first, do the matchups actually suggest that Mbeumo will actually have some fun against Luton? Is that do you concur with that, with the statistics from the point of view of the pitch itself?
Absolutely, I do. I mean, Luton is a team that, I mean, you can beat them 1v1. You know, they'll try to pack it in, but you see in that average position map, the orange one, so third one from the left there.
Yeah.
That's how they set up, and like the Luton's left side being isolated that way.
Don't
do it, save yourself the heartache. being isolated that way is like Mbeumo in all of that space there on that left hand side is just really nice. So I mean, Mbeumo red card in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, everyone's honestly continuing to take the mick out of me with all my bad decisions. But yeah, I mean, looks good, doesn't it? I think, you know, he really is. I think he, as I say, he is the talisman, by one of the biggest talismans in the game right now. Luton are pretty abject, you know, away from home. Very abject, quite frankly. And, you know, every point counts with the captaincy, so there could be a clean sheet in there as well, Gabe. Although maybe your matchups probably suggest that my Flecken goalkeeper will go wrong again.
You know, like the data this season in general has been pointing to very few clean sheets, and that even a bad team will nick a goal here and there. Whether it happens or not, like if I were to guess, I would guess that Flecken gets a clean sheet at home against Luton. Yes, that would be my guess. I would go against the data in this case and bet on like the tactics and just the superior players. The one thing I'll say for Brentford is they are second best in the league for expected threat. Expected threat is the XG buildup of a play, and just behind Liverpool. So, I mean, Brentford, they're a good attack. They're a good attack, and they will take advantage. They'll be in their 4-3-3. They've had some difficult fixtures, so they've been in their 3-5-2 for a little while. They'll be back in the 4-3-3, and I think they'll be firing. Now, the one thing that could indicate a Luton goal is Brentford's injuries at the back. They're playing Janelt at left back, and what's his name? Hodos. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. At right back. These are midfielders playing defense. So Luton could get something like from a, you know, somebody not marking someone well on a cross or something like that.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. Let's keep going then. So the next one, Burnley, Sheffield United, Gabe.
Mm-hmm. Burnley 1.6, Sheffield United 1.59. Interesting similarities here in the metrics. The only thing that really stands out, everything is pretty mild, but Burnley's left-hand side, so basically attacking Sheffield United's right-hand side, and that's just because there's no support from poor old George Baldock, who can't really get back like he anymore. So I think that's why Burnley's left is sticking out here, and Koliosho has shown some good things, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. What do your stats say, Mariner?
Well, we agree on the left-hand side. I'm only really talking about Burnley. We don't need to talk about Sheffield United. There's a few people brought in Charlie Taylor, haven't they? A few people bringing people like Charlie Taylor in. Which side is he? Is he right, though? I can't quite remember. Mm-hmm. I think he might be. But the left side...
Charlie Taylor's left.
Is he? Well, there we go. Charlie Taylor might not be bad, actually. So, look, 4.9 on the left side and 3.4 headers. So... Burnley have got a very good headed matchup to this week against Sheffield United. But quite frankly, Gabe, I'm not sure we need to talk about this one very much. I don't think any of us own any of these assets. And I think we should move on.
Move on. I will highlight, like in this one, I'll highlight Koliosho on that left hand side. I bet he gets a goal in here, but nobody's bringing any of these.
No. But I mean, look, from the perspective of your matchups when you post it,
And there are fans of these teams, so we want to talk about them at least a little bit. So
yeah, well, not much because I don't think many. Not much. But I think Charlie Taylor's not a bad option to play this week, certainly.
Agreed.
And you know, and if you're stuck for a defensive transfer and you've actually not had a disaster with all your recent transfers and you're perhaps holding two and you've got the ability and everything's hunky-dory and you haven't got as many flags as the United Nations like I have, then maybe Charlie Taylor's a nice little option. Who knows? Right. Okay. Nottingham Forest against Everton, another game where we don't have many assets, but perhaps a little bit more interesting given Everton's plight. Gabe, what's your perspective?
Everton 1.33, Forest 1.69. Forest's right side lights up in this one in terms of zonals, but the shots goal predictor is not there. None of the zonals pop out other than that right side, and all of the three metrics there are pretty muted for both of these teams. So it's, I mean, looks like Eze's injury is probably pretty bad.
Eze? Nottingham Forest against Everton.
Eze? Sorry. I don't know why I went to Palace. So this one's interesting in terms of like what Lucien mentioned yesterday in the review show was the McNeil Mykolenko connection is a thing. So these Mykolenko involvements getting forward, we are going to see more of that. So if somebody's looking for a cheaper defender, that could be kind of one way to get some upside in a budget defender. From Forest's perspective, I don't really know what they are without Awoniyi. I feel like Forest is still a team in transition, kind of like progressing or transitioning into a progressive style, but they're still in that. They're like in that like teenagers, you know the dork phase of a teenager when they're not an adult and they're not a kid and they're all like awkward and stuff. I think that's where Forrest is in their development. So they're just really tough to predict.
I feel like saying, can you remember that?
You hear that, Kieran?
Yeah, he's up there. He's just upstairs. He's already told me to keep quiet. He's working. From my side, again, I've only really highlighted Notts Forest here on the screen, the home game. So, I mean, 1.4 fixture difficulty, 3.8 on the right, 3.2 headers. Everton, very red. I mean, away from home, Everton are never really stand out on matchups. Forest, generally speaking, are better at home. But this doesn't scream goals to me. I don't know why. I don't know what your perspective is, Gabe.
I'm kind of in line with the numbers here. Anywhere like 0-1-2 goals is like what wouldn't surprise me. Ignatius Bryan in the chat says Everton is this season's Brighton. They rack up XG without result. That's fair to an extent, and they need. But I think that's also changing with at the beginning of the season they started the season without Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah. But Everton's XG matchup today is only 1.2. So they rack up XG at home. They don't rack up XG away from home. Is my answer to that one. I just think it's, for me, relatively low scoring. I mean, they're already in the mire now with what's gone on. Gibbs-White seems to be starting to fire again, and he's very patchy. He goes on runs. Might have to keep an eye on him for weeks to come. He's starting to creep up with respect to involvement. I noticed that today. So the trouble is Forest have changed a lot. They're not playing that expansive game they played at home. They've been a lot more careful about trying to get results, I think. You know, so maybe they're not going to create that much at home, which makes you think it's all well and good, you know, having a large share of the XG, but when you don't create that much XG in the first place, then it's not necessarily a great pick.
The one thing is look how both these teams react to game state, right? If we look at the second, if we're going left from right in the average position maps there, and then we'll move on because no one's getting these assets. But just to show quickly that from before the subs to after the subs, if they need to chase a game, they will do it. They will open up. They very much spread out and push forward. So both these teams have the ability to do that. And I think game state could very much dictate what happens here.
Fair enough. Okay. Next one, Gabe. Newcastle, Manchester United. Now we're talking. We've got some assets here, so let's have a chat about this one.
Well, Garnacho just scored, Garnacho scored away to Galatasaray, so he's on a bit of a hot streak. Manchester United.
What's that? He wasn't at the start of the season when I was thinking about bringing him in, was he?
No, and I don't. Please don't bring him in.
No, I'm not. Don't worry.
Manchester United 0.96 net XG. Newcastle 1.9 net XG. None of the zonal, like the zonals are fine. They're decent for Newcastle. A little bit more favorable on the in the center and left, but none of them really stand out here. The shots goal predictor have Newcastle 20% chance, so 1 in 5 chance of 3 or more goals. Look at that. So if you add the 2 and the 3, 47% chance of 2 or more goals for Newcastle. Manchester United have looked like they have a 72% chance of 0 or 1 goals. So it likes a Newcastle win here, but I think it's not. There are contextual elements that aren't being factored in the data, but let's look at your data before we get into that.
Yeah, I'm just ringing it now because they're next to each other, actually. So I'll just put them on the screen now. So from this side of it, it really likes the fixture difficulty for Newcastle, 3.7 for attack, 1.4 for defence. Obviously, Manchester United, the opposite way. Zonal's not so much, Gerb, if I'm honest with you. XG 2+2, so I think that's third best this week for Newcastle, 10.2 shots in the box as well, 5.7 shots on target. This has got Isak all over it again, quite frankly. Now, what I want to know, Gabe, is who is the biggest priority if you do not own Anthony Gordon or Alexander Isak? Who would be your player you would go to?
Wow, I think that really just depends money's on the situation.
No, if it's money's no object, right? And I mean, if you were just looking at those two players just without any other context from a matchup perspective, because of course Isak's probably gonna Gordon's probably gonna play down the left with Wilson being out, right? You would think. And Isak's probably gonna play through the middle, you would think, unless I'm getting this completely wrong. But
I'd have to say Isak.
Yeah. The problem I've got with Isak, and I really like him, is I've already got Watkins, and I don't think I can actually bring myself to sell Mr. Consistent right now.
He's up against Bournemouth next. That's the thing. So that's what I was going to ask. Why it's so contextual, right? It depends who you're selling.
Like, I'm being a little simplistic, if I'm honest with you, but I think it is a debate. You know, most of those one Newcastle defender. I've got Trippier. I might, you know, we'll talk about him in a minute. But you know, he's all of a sudden gone off his hot streak again, and now he's back in that. Is he a bit too expensive? You know, can I go to someone else? And the player I've actually contemplated going for to Trippier, as I've said earlier on, is actually Trent. And again, because I've got the money in the bank, because of those cheap midfielders that I'm messing around with, the Anthony Gordons of this world, people like that, and Palmer, then maybe a Trippier to Trent is not such a bad idea. The only problem is that defensive matchup for Newcastle ain't that bad this week either. And Liverpool, whilst they have a extremely good fixture difficulty and probably I think the best fixture difficulty going forwards for defence, amazingly, I'm still not sure I trust them. So what's your perspective on Newcastle defence these days?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't trust them too much, to be honest. Data aside, I mean, Newcastle have a threadbare roster right now. They had... Yeah. They barely had anybody on the bench. Nobody of note really on the bench yesterday, and PSG just kept bringing out player after player after player, and eventually got the better of them. The good news is, well, with you know, maybe they'll have some time to get healthy and stuff like that. And then on the flip side, I would say Manchester United, they might be a team in transition, like. They've shown that obviously that they can win games. That they've shown that like their form, that despite poor play, they can still get results. Now they're starting to generate some play, maybe off the back of Garnacho's wonder goal, but potentially that can definitely psychologically lift the team, right? Not that he's going to do that every week or anything like that, but we saw he came in the 11th minute against Galatasaray and scored a goal. So he's high on confidence, and that could make the team high on confidence. So I would say watch for Manchester United. They're probably in transition right now. They're not fully there. You can tell they're not fully there because of the average position maps against Everton. In a game they won 3-0, you would expect them to be, one, higher up the field, and two, after they make substitutions, look how poorly organized they are. They're all shifted to the right-hand side. The left side is open. And Luke Shaw is getting forward. Luke Shaw was doing Luke Shaw things against Everton. Yes. So I know you like some Luke Shaw every once in a while.
I do. And to be honest with you, he's completely going to be on my radar in weeks to come.
Yeah.
But as I say, I could be, you know, clobbering my budget by going Trippier to Trent. And then going for a big upside move on the Liverpool game this week, which is an interesting angle to try and do something. Might involve a hit, but I don't mind that quite so much because I don't really consider it a defensive move. I consider it an attacking move in a sense, you know? Another hit. The hitman.
Met that hit.
I love it. But no, Luke Shaw, I think, might change things for Manchester United. I think it's something we've got to watch. I think he's a big. It's like a new signing to them, coming back in. Quite frankly, there's a couple of. I don't know if we would take these questions right now, Gabe. We may as well do whilst we're on it. I've spotted them. Dom's saying Newcastle defence stick or twist, considering the amount of fixtures every 3 days. And Nick is saying, would you bring in Lascelles or Taylor? First things first, I'm still... How far are we away from Botman being back? Because I think he's a big loss, isn't he, to them?
I don't think we know yet. It's still up in the air.
No.
I guess it depends. Like, long-term... Lascelles, definitely Lascelles. You can play Lascelles most weeks. You can only play Charlie Taylor this week.
Yes. Yeah, I think if you're doing that. But, I mean, look, I personally, if I sell Trippier, I may wait on Newcastle now for quite a while and then come back in on them again later and just have a bit of a rumble on Liverpool for a while and just have a bit of fun because I already own Tsimikas as well. Okay, so anyway, we've done those. Don't know what's happened to my screen. Right, next one then. Let's keep going. Bournemouth against Aston Villa. So my favourite players in Dominic Solanke against Ollie Watkins, who managed to get booked and lose 3 bonus points, didn't he? I heard a little rumour. I didn't watch the game because I was still too seething from the other games. I was too busy, actually. What's your perspective on this one, Gabe? What the numbers say? Could be goals. I've a funny feeling, but then again, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I do see goals in this one. But the data isn't super bullish on the goals. None of the data is. The data is pretty unanimous, at least from NetXG. 1.39 for Villa and 1.4 for Bournemouth. So almost identical there. Mirror images. The zonals favor Aston Villa, but they're not super noticeable. 3.6 on the left and 3.7 on the right. Which means that the big chance matchup probably favors Bournemouth, but let's take a look at that in your data, Mariner.
Yeah, I'm just doing it now, so I'll just put it on the screen because they're next to each other anyway. So everyone can see where I've started. So I mean, look, Aston Villa fixed difficulty attack is 1.8, Bournemouth 1.1. Mm-hmm. I think the things which stand out for me is Aston Villa's flanks. They look pretty good. And, well, Bournemouth's matchups are not particularly good. Shots in box for Aston Villa is particularly good. Header's not too bad at 2.7. 5 shots on target, 1.6 and 1.4 XG. I mean, look, that means... Solanke's going to get 0.75 goals, doesn't it?
Well, if he's due 1.5 from last week, that means he'll get 2 goals.
Please God, you want? I'm not going to sell him. I could go for Nunes. I could sell him and go for Nunes in absolute disgust, and then just watch what happens.
Oh man, I would troll you so hard next week if you did that.
Don't worry, I'm not doing it. Don't worry, I'm
really
not
quickly, Mariner. The one thing that stood out to me is the shots in the box matchup for Aston Villa. If we go back to your slide here,
yeah.
See, 10.4 shots in the box for Villa is pretty nice. For Watkins owners, like if he gets, say he gets four of those, right? You know, he could miss all four.
He probably will because I own him. But you know, but absolutely, I do think that I think there's something there for Villa. I don't mind it. I mean, there's five shots on target for Bournemouth there. You know.
Mm-hmm.
There could be goals. I mean, you know, we're seeing there's enough there to suggest there's a goal or two, but I don't see it being an absolute. I don't see it being a cricket score here.
So what do we do with Diaby? Diaby got subbed at halftime. Leon Bailey comes in, plays really well.
Well, look, I own him, so he's probably going to be benched next week. I would love to sell him. I've just got too many fires to fix. I'll play him and hope.
You're going to bench Diaby against Bournemouth?
No. I'm going to play him. I've no option. I've got too many fires. I'd sooner deal with Eze and do an upside move on Trippier to Trent or something like that for a bit of fun. Quite frankly, I'm really bored and I just feel like I want to play a bit more mavericky at the moment.
Diaby's an issue, but back to Villa here, Diaby's an issue for some managers. Claire writes in, I'm starting Conte and Watkins with Bournemouth. Just unsure if I
agree.
Diaby as well, or bench Diaby and start Sobo.
I've no problem selling. I've no problem selling at all. No problem. Mm-hmm. If I could, I probably would. In fact, you've given me an idea. I might just sell him just in disgust. So, but I think realistically, I've got enough. I've got other fires to do, but I mean, look, I mean, if Claire's got Sobo, why not play him? I would. I think I probably would. I mean, that Liverpool game, we'll come to that in a minute, but it looks tasty.
Yeah, against Fulham, it does look nice. Nick says if you're going to Mbomo, that's an easy one.
That's a complete no-brainer.
That was my plan, and I was gonna keep Eze.
Yeah, that's a complete no-brainer, that one.
Yeah,
really.
So that's good enough. Another issue people might have is cash.
Yeah, well, I've always got problems with no cash.
I got problems with cash, with and without cash.
Well, I mean, again, I think what you said, although, you know, would you sell him this week with the matchups looking the way they are down the flanks?
Could Konsa play right back? I think
Konsa
could
play right back. Is he likely to play that? I'm not. I don't. I've, to be honest,
well,
I've
Claire's
been
starting him.
Yeah,
I trust Claire.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Look, I have absolutely no idea. If I'm honest with you, I'm not following Aston Villa, and to quite frankly, I'm hardly following football right now because I've just been so busy this last week. Any questions? Any other questions on it? We can answer in the chat. 43 minutes in, guys. We haven't asked for any likes yet. Would you mind hitting like on the stream? We would greatly appreciate it. And if you really like what we do, hit subscribe. And if you really, really, really like what you do, become a hauler. Because we've got quite a few now. And there's I like to think it's a nice thank you to us, to, you know, for what we do, the efforts that goes in. There's a lot of work which Gabe puts in, particularly with respect to the matchups, with respect to the slides, whereas I'm more of a number cruncher on the back end. We're very happy to have won the Football Content Awards for the podcast. We still don't know how, but we are very happy. So if you'd like to come and join us as haulers, we would obviously love you to. But no pressure. You can just subscribe, or if you don't want to subscribe, don't bother. Still watch us. As long as we're useful to you. And if we're not useful, and if you don't like our ranks, then, you know, plenty of other podcasts. I see some people moaning as usual. But anyway, let's keep going. What's this one? Cash or Diaby out first from Clint.
I think this is a good question. Do you go Arsenal defense first? I personally, I think Gordon is the play here. Diaby out for Gordon. For me, I think it's just the upside play.
Well, that's what unless, I would have
unless
been
you
doing.
Have zero. Go ahead.
That's what I would have been doing if I hadn't have got the Eze problem. That's my well, that was same. My planned yeah. move. You know. Fuck. Carry on.
I would do Diaby just because the upside of Gordon. But it also like if you have no Arsenal defensive coverage. Then I mean, I understand that move.
It's almost defense. Arsenal's defensive move is almost protection.
Now, yes, it's protection.
It's protection rather than anything. You know, it's just the way that the, I don't know what the EO is. I think it's quite high, but I mean, that second player is obviously the differential. But yeah, it's tricky. I mean, look, I still like Anthony Gordon. Obviously it depends how long that, Callum Wilson's out for. I don't entirely know, but let's face it, they will manage minutes for Isak too over Christmas for sure, because he is still a bit of glass. They're both a bit made of glass, aren't they? Both Isak and Wilson.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, okay.
They'll sign somebody in January.
Yeah. Anyway, just whilst we're on the Football Content Awards, Colm said Nima collects the FCA and just clears off,
and then go hangs out with the fat cats up there.
Yeah,
the award winner.
Then goes and hangs out with the fat cats. Chelsea Brighton, Gabe.
Brighton 1.6, Chelsea 1.67, according to NetXG. Chelsea right side stands out at 3.9. None of the zonals really stand out for Brighton other than the poor zonal of 1.9 on their right-hand side. It's just the chances aren't being created from that side these days. Brighton are a bit of a mess. Let's see what your data says, because this is kind of like unremarkable 1-1 kind of territory here.
Well, I'm just having the usual tricks on mess around here. So anyway, Chelsea 2.2 fixed difficulty, Brighton 1 fixed difficulty for attack. Mm. What else have we got here? Chelsea right, like you say, Chelsea right matchup looks okay. Well, not a lot else, you know. There's nothing really jumps out. 10 shots in the box for Chelsea, 2.8 big chances. So that's not bad.
It's not enough if they go to Nico Jackson. They need more.
Well, that's true. What if they went to Raheem Sterling?
Let's talk about Raz a little bit, because yeah. I think in the past, I think Raheem Sterling has shown a kind of next level of form in the past two games. However you define form, he's playing well. He's decisive. He seems confident. And Brighton just concede. They haven't kept a clean sheet all season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you know they're going to concede. I honestly, if I were to guess, I would say this is a Cole Palmer game. It's the right hand side. Look how crowded Brighton's right was against Forest. And if they crowd Raz like that, then he's not going to go anywhere. He can't break through lines like that. So I think it'll be kind of Cole Palmer's pace on the right hand side that could get something here.
Yeah. I quite like Sterling is sort of like in my plans, but clearly their fixtures turn a little bit more in the sort of like medium term. The fixtures are not bad now, but they do get better as we go on. So I think, again, he's a player that interests me at that price point instead of Anthony Gordon, but I might need the money. If I wanted to go to Trent, I need to probably go to Anthony Gordon anyway or Palmer. My gut tells me I probably need to go to Palmer because I like my talisman, but like you say, how many more penalties is he going to get? He's still a gift, but how many penalties is he going to get? Tricky. Brighton, on the other hand, I completely agree with you. They are like Jekyll and Hyde this season. I don't know you can quite work them out. In fact, they're at a level where I, because of that, I'm happy to swerve them for now.
Yeah. They're a hard avoid until they get healthy.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay. Liverpool and Fulham. Right, here we go. Now, this is an interesting one. Let's pick the bones out of this one, mate.
Yeah, so that one way that we'll talk about that way you're trying to differentiate with some Liverpool here. Liverpool 2.31 net XG to Fulham 0.67, lowest of the week. Central zonal matchup stands out for chances for Liverpool, maybe with some slight favoritism there on the right hand side. And then obviously, look at that 55% chance of two or more goals for Liverpool in this one. That's insane. And 79% chance of zero or one goals for Fulham. According to that shot goal predictor, Liverpool have a 41% chance of a clean sheet, which is quite high for the predictor. You're not going to see it be over 50%. I don't think I've ever seen it over 50%. So 41 is really high for a clean sheet from that metric. Really quickly, the goalkeeper metric at home, look at Alisson there at 0.8. Best goalkeeper in the league by far. Had a conversation in the chat about him. But it seems like he could be injured. So,
yes. So Kelleher.
I'm going to try. Cueven Kelleher.
Only because you've seen it pronounced in the chat earlier on.
No, I didn't see it.
Didn't you?
No.
Someone told you how to pronounce it earlier on in the chat. Did you? I thought you'd seen it.
No, I missed that. No, we talked about. Okay, I'll go back and look for that. We talked. Lucien and I talked about it yesterday, and I did.
Got it right.
Yes. Nice. Cool. I looked it up. I looked it up because I was curious. So.
But yeah, interesting. Becker and Jota out injured. So. Let's put my matchups on the screen, and well, I've ringed a few things here. I mean, first things first, Liverpool's fixture difficulty for attack 5.5 and 2.1 for defence. I mean, look, they've been a laughing stock for defence for me for weeks and months, and they're now best at home for a matchup for Liverpool, and in fact, long range they're best as well. I can tell you that right now. That gets me interested. Zonals, central matchup, and the right. Again, Trent, Nunes, possibly, and Salah down that side as well. XG matchup, 2.3. Very nice. Shots on target, 7. Shots in the box, 11. This could be a high-scoring game for Liverpool. It could be a clean sheet. I take the point of Alisson. I think that makes me a little bit more worried. I've got three players I'd like to throw in here. Jota is injured. Diaz. Right. There's one. Darwin, obviously, with that central matchup. And Trent Alexander-Arnold, Gabe. What's your perspective given the actual statistic, or given the gameplay, which we've got on the screen now?
I'm going to go to our resident Fulham fan here. There it is. Colm Bugler says in the chat, Salah against Ream, our left center half, and crying emojis. And I think that's it. That's it right there. That's kind of like that central matchup. But some of that could fall for Nunez, and if it falls in the right way for Nunez, in other words, like on the swivel into space, which is that's his signature move. He's really good at that. Then, I mean, with these types of stats, I mean, if you're a Nunez owner, you're looking forward to this fixture. But I just really like Salah in this fixture. I think he's more clinical. He creates and finishes from that central zone as well. Usually when he creates, he is wider, but he can create from the central zone. And if that central zone is going to open up for him, then I think he could do a lot of damage. I mean, honestly, like there's you play all your attackers, you know, Luis Diaz could be great. I don't know if it'll be Luis Diaz or Darwin goes to the left and Hakpo starts. I'm not sure who's going to start, so I won't call any of that. But no. But yeah, just the most nailed players. I love Trent in this one. I really do, because of the right central kind of chance creation thing. And that's just like, that just shines for Trent.
I have to say, I've got this little itch. You know that little devil sat on my shoulder?
Yeah.
To say, do you know what? I fancy going double Liverpool defence with Tsimikas and Trent, taking Trippier out, because I'm really cooling on Newcastle defence a little bit. And it could hurt me. Mm-hmm. But I really quite fancy it, because then what you can do is, as I say, you've got that option to differentiate for a change. And you know, there's the extreme possibility of a Salah and Trent double up in this, as far as I can see. Extreme possibility.
He's got whole potential, for sure, yeah, for sure.
100%. But I do like, and I have to say, I think Salah, it was interesting, he's not as greedy as he used to be when Mane was on the pitch. They almost competed against each other, didn't they, in the old days? Whereas now, I think there's a lot more of a synergy between Darwin and Salah. So I actually see Darwin and Salah as a good double up as well. I really like that too this week. I just, again, I've made my bed with Solanke. I've probably got to keep him for a couple of weeks now. But, you know, quite frankly, probably a mistake, probably trying to force it a little bit. But anyway, it is what it is.
I still think your process was good. I like Dom has a good comment. He said, yesterday, Lucien gave us a great insight on how Salah plays. So if you haven't seen the review show, go back and check that out. Lucien has actually, that was one of the points he brought up, but there were several other ones that I've brought up today. It was really insightful.
Yeah, Blue Danube Joe, we can check your Liverpool start against LASK in the Europa League as well. Yes, that probably gives an indication of who's going to play this weekend. I genuinely think this has the makings of a potentially quite high-scoring game. Probably the standout fixture for me this week, even though Brentford and Luton as well, maybe as a slightly higher matchup for attack and defence, I think, you know, with Liverpool's wealth of talent and Trent now coming back into the fore as somebody who, you know, is getting into the right places at the right time, I think they it'd be very interesting. I also think a lot of people can't get to Trent as well, which also gives me the opportunity perhaps to give it a bit of a go. It'll be a nice differentiator. But there's a few people, you know, yeah, Salah captain this week, Nick. We'll have a look in a few minutes, mate. Salah likes Darwin, black screen. But who doesn't like Darwin? Well, Gabe. Normally. I'm not sure how many more fixtures we've got, Gabe, but we're doing really well for time because we haven't got Nima talking as much.
He's talking someone else's ear off.
God help him. I'll tell you what, the lot of ear defenders on the Emirates, won't they, tonight? He'll probably take his football content. They'll probably take the football content at one down with him. Put it on the turf.
I'm sure he... I picture Nima walking around London with that award chained to his neck. Like Flavor Flav, but like Flavor Flav, but instead of a clock, he has the award.
It's a bit big. Probably a bit heavy as well. But anyway.
Well, that's the point. That's the style. That's what the kids are wearing these days.
So, West Ham against Crystal Palace, Gabe.
Oh, yeah. This is obviously the one that's been on my mind all day as I tried to talk about Eze in the Everton matchup, in the Everton fixture. But let's talk about Eze now. Crystal Palace, West Ham 1.55 net XG, Palace 1.37. Nothing really standing out here. Palace central matchup zonal stands out. And West Ham's right to an extent, but more so like the flanks in general for West Ham, which isn't surprising. We'll get to kind of like a why and how for West Ham in a moment, but let's look at what the FDRs say.
Yeah, well, similar actually, interestingly enough. Well, you'd expect it to correlate, wouldn't you?
The metrics are getting along these days, huh?
Yeah,
they are.
Agreement in most of these. Yeah. I mean,
it's the season. It's the festive season.
It must be. Although I noticed that you couldn't blame me for getting your fixtures mixed up earlier, which someone pointed out. But anyway, there's another story.
Did I get them mixed up? I knew there was going to be a mistake.
No, there always is. It's fine. That's the joy of net that hole. I mean, look, the fixture difficulty for Crystal Palace is 1.1 attack, and West Ham is 1 it doesn't suggest, this doesn't scream goals to me. Crystal Palace central matchups 3.8, that's okay. But the thing which both teams have are very good headed matchups, 3.1 for Palace and 3.4 for West Ham. That could play into Ward-Prowse. It could pay into Voldemort or one of the other players, perhaps, for West Ham. But it wouldn't surprise me if 1-1 draw a couple of headers. There's my prediction this week. But I don't know what you think on the game itself. But more to the point, I want to ask you, a little bird told me you were really thinking about bringing Kudus in.
Yeah.
Does it rain in the desert?
You know, right process, wrong outcome again.
Yes, exactly. Another one. I bet you were happy with that one.
Oh my God! I love the player. He's so much fun. He was a fun pick, right? He was a gut pick, a fun pick, and Ezza was the head pick. He's the smart pick. He's the obvious pick.
Yeah. It actually wouldn't make the blindest bit of difference because apparently Kudus is unwell, not playing in Europe at the moment, and Bowen has not travelled. So anyone with Bowen now is going to be seriously thinking about bailing out on him.
If we can talk about Bowen a little bit, and that way we can troll Nima a little bit here as well, because
that's always good.
That's always good, especially it's easier when he's not here. So let's take advantage of that. So last week on Bowen, you know, I was talking about what the fluid in the knee meant and stuff like that, and I was quite confident he wouldn't play last weekend.
Yes.
Of course, Moyes isn't going to say anything. So I don't know why people like say, oh, let's see what this manager says in the pressers. What the managers say in the pressers, I think, is largely irrelevant. So I never pay attention to that. Bowen was never going to play it. And now he's not playing in Europe, which is, for me, kind of a big deal. Premier League-centric people, I think, would say, well, he's not playing in Europe, so he can be rested for the weekend and stuff like that. But I don't see it that way. This is without Kudus, and this is a game that they have to win to get top spot in Europe. I think if Bowen could play at all, that he would play. And this is probably an indication that there's still inflammation in the knee. And if I'm not saying he will or he won't play this weekend, I'm saying for the European game, there's inflammation in the knee. He could be okay, but I would be concerned if I still held Bowen. But seeing that Kudus is unwell, I'm assuming he's just sick. I don't think he got injured at all. But one thing that Lucien has been bringing up for several weeks now is West Ham are abysmal in open play. They're terrible. And I asked Lucien if Kudus kind of like made them any better, and he said absolutely not. So West Ham, honestly, I think Thomas Soucek is the asset to have from West Ham. Best West Ham asset.
Headed matchup. The GOAT. That is Thomas Soucek. And you know, if you've got Ward-Prowse, I know he's high up on the metric last week, didn't do any good. But, you know, quite frankly, you know, if anyone's going to deliver the ball for the header, it'll be him. So I wouldn't be moving him on this week, because it looks pretty good with respect to the headed matchups. The only bright spark for Crystal Palace now is the fact Elise's back, but he'll be brought in very slowly. Be worth keeping an eye on him, though, because he could become the talisman.
He's all I got. It'll be interesting to see Crystal Palace kind of evolve here from kind of more of a left-sided focus to a right-sided focus with Olise on that right side. He'll be what Palace will be looking for. But he's just coming back from injury, so I don't know how hard they can lean on him.
No, absolutely. But it's worth keeping an eye on because, you know, he is probably the only other player who has the ability to perhaps be a talisman for Crystal Palace over Ezza. And, of course, Ezza's now out for a probably extended period again, which is not great news. Okay.
Man, I have a question for you. Do you still own... Didn't you own Mbeumo?
No, never. I think it was Nima. Was it Nima?
Nima owned Mbeumo?
I think so. Want me. I've never had him all season.
I think listen to the Planet FPL pod. Suj has some good things to say about his team and Moyes in particular. I thought Mbeumo showed some things and should be brought on slowly, okay. but I don't think Moyes will do it. If he has anybody, he'll choose them over Mbama, unfortunately.
I tend to agree with you. I think Suchek's the one. But then again, there's just such amount of midfielders there. You're not going to bring him in. So let's keep going. Last one, Manchester City against Spurs. Now, this is interesting, Gabe, because I've heard a lot of people. Now, I know Haaland is Haaland. I know he's a robot and everything. But a lot of people have been saying this is a really tough captaincy decision this week.
Mm.
What's your perspective on it? I'm not so sure here, but what's your view?
So that I would say it is. I would go against at least the shots data. I mean, the expected data for City is decent here. I'd be interested to see what it is in the FDR. But Man City, 1.81 net XG, Spurs, 1.28. Man City really bolstered by that 2.03 expected data. And it's all on that left-hand side. 3.7 on the left-hand side is that the only thing that stands out. No zone will stand out for Spurs. Like, they're really bad for Spurs, so... But I think it is. I think it genuinely is a captaincy debate here because both teams are at home, City and Liverpool. They're both at home, and they're playing against teams that can't keep clean sheets. What do the FDR say in terms of the XG matchup?
This is really, really interesting because it really doesn't pick it. It doesn't see a cricket. It doesn't see it at all. It sees Manchester City's fixed difficulty at 0.4. It only sees two big chances for them. Okay, that's maybe enough for him. But look how red it is. The only thing really which stands out on matchups is the left side, as you mentioned. And Spurs-wise, there's absolutely nothing. I could be 1-0 this. This could be 1-0. Genuinely. I don't know that it's that great. But that said, you know, I know that Manchester City don't need many chances. If they get 8 shots in the box, 5 shots on target, is that enough for Haaland to get 2 goals? Absolutely it is. But the numbers don't support it. What's your view?
Yeah, Manchester City at home this season, they only have 11 big chances in six home matches.
Yeah.
So I think the data doesn't like it, but I think I just think the individual player matchups, Haaland against the center backs, the Spurs center backs, the way Spurs want to play, the way Ange wants to like spread the field and get the wing backs forward, and then add to that the loss of Spurs' ability maybe to hold the ball longer, to not lose it. Madison won't be there, so I think the tactics line up here for Manchester City for a legit captaincy shout. And But the fact that there's disagreement between the tactics and the data, whereas we have kind of unanimous data and tactical agreement on for Liverpool, suggests that Salah may be the better choice. But we'll get to the captaincy metric.
I think we're very close to it, actually. I think this was the last game. So, like I say, Blue to Noob Joe,
one question.
No way 1-0 against Spurs backline. Yeah, I'm saying it, looking at the data, that's what it suggests. It doesn't suggest much. There is obviously this, it's a very strange one, but you look at Manchester City's numbers away from home and their data, the matchups, the zonal matchups are ridiculous. So it's almost like they play within themselves at home and away from home, they're a bit more, they're almost a bit more attacking. It's a very strange way of doing things at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You take a look at that when you next get a chance. Look at the home and away on City's zonals. Very interesting.
Okay, yeah, I can actually bring them up right now. But really quickly, what do you think about? How is Doku a reliable pick? Like I want that extra attacker. Count Doku, that's right. like right now, so we're sitting here, many of us, like myself included, we own Julián Álvarez, right?
Yeah.
I'm not happy with that pick anymore. I don't think he's in the same place as he was, in the same areas, or picking up the same balls. Like there aren't those balls going to Haaland that kind of fall to Álvarez anymore. If anything, their City have more time now, thanks to the involvement of Bernardo Silva, for runners like Foden to get involved. And then they have the kind of X factor of Doku, that Doku's not going to find Álvarez for the most part. Yeah, Colmas, the Doku effect, Álvarez and Haaland points chance. Maybe. I don't know if he affects Haaland so much, but I think he has had a negative impact on Álvarez, but not just Doku. I think also just I think Bernardo Silva's late runs and Foden. We saw Foden with an incredible game last night.
Yeah. But they're few and far between for me.
Yeah, they
and I think Doku, you know, he's obviously got that, you know, electric pace and that, you know, he's got that whole capability. I'm not quite sure whether I'm sold on him just yet, personally. Not against all the other great midfield assets that are actually out there. There's always that slight doubt that he's rotated, quite frankly, and particularly as we get towards Christmas. 100% he's going to get rotated around Christmas, whereas perhaps players like, obviously, players like Mbeumo will not. And some of them, I mean, whether Gordon does or not remains to be seen, but it's tricky. But I personally, at the moment, am not that hot on Manchester City attack apart from Haaland. That's where I am right now.
Yeah, and I'm looking to sell Álvarez likely soon as well. I have the zonal chances here, home and away, and you're right, it's stark. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So the home from left, center, right is 25, 23, and 12.
Yeah.
And away, left, center, right is 40, 45, and 24. It's like double for all of them.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. So basically half the chances created at home.
Yeah. And that's why the fixture, if that was away, Manchester City's fixture and everything would be a lot better. And that's a very strange thing, which we're seeing at the moment with City. At home, and I don't know why. Absolutely no reason to. I mean, you maybe should, maybe Lucien should have a look at that going forwards and see whether he can figure out why it is so different. But it's something which jumped out to me the other day. Blue Danube Joe, Grealish started last night, Doku was benched, so maybe he is okay for this week. But again, you know, I could argue that I don't know that I'd bring one in this week against Spurs, but then again. FPL Discomfort says the numbers don't take into account Spurs are playing four fullbacks or Eric Dier. It's very true.
Well, Ben Davies is a centre back, but the point stands.
Yes. No, totally.
But it's a fair point. And honestly, bravo to Ange for getting his players to understand all these changes. It's, you know, I still see them at Spurs quite favorably, even despite the poor results recently, I think.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the matchups. 1 hour 13. We've done that quite quickly, Gabe. We've answered a few questions as we went as well, which is quite useful. So let's quickly look at the zonals and everything. That my summary is there. So there we go. You can see that on the screen. Well, I can't because I'm blind as a bat. Can you read those out today this week, Gabe? Because I can't see on my screen.
Yes. These are the summaries to highlight the best attacks for game week 13 according to the matchups. Brentford 6.2, Liverpool 5.5, and Newcastle 3.7. The best defenses are Liverpool 2.1, Newcastle 1.4, and Arsenal 1.0. The zonals that stand out, let's see, the best zonal is Burnley's left. That's the best zonal of the week with 4.9.
Well, that's the Sheffield United factor, right?
Yeah, that's the Sheffield. That's the George Baldock factor.
Yeah.
And then other than that, we have, what else we have? We have Brentford's left as well with 4.0. Moving on to the best. Then we have 4.4 Liverpool central matchup. Get in on that. And Brentford's central matchup 4.1 as well. And then on the right, we have 4.1 for Arsenal. Obviously, that's where they go. Brentford 3.9 and Chelsea 3.9. Let's see. XG matchups. Best XG matchups of the game week are Brentford 2.2, Liverpool 2.3, and Newcastle 2.0. Most big chances, Brentford. There's a lot of Brentford in here, right?
Yeah, so, there's two big green lines, isn't there? Brentford and Liverpool. Two big green lines.
There you go. Two big green lines, Brentford and Liverpool. Headed matchups, if you're looking for headers, again, Brentford. So Pinnock or Collins. Yeah. Collins didn't start last game. Let's see if he comes back in. Burnley, I have no idea. No idea. Don't buy Burnley players. West Ham, 3.4. So check.
Yeah. Do you know what? I love trying to predict a header or two. There we go.
I think it's fun.
Yeah, I think there might be. There's my James Ward-Prowse assist this week. There we go. That's my prediction. And next five, Gabe, again, if you wouldn't mind doing the honours, because I can't read them because of my laptop.
Yeah, no problem. Next five. Best next five for attack is Brentford, 17.2. Then Liverpool, 17.1. Then it drops down to Newcastle at 14.2. I know some people are thinking double Newcastle attack. Gordon and Isak, I think, is an excellent idea.
Yeah.
Wouldn't go double Brentford attack, but wouldn't mind one of their defenders, to be honest. And on that, the best defenses for the next five are Liverpool 4.2, Newcastle 3.8, and the rest are shit.
Yeah, they are. But I think there's some caveats with Newcastle, like you say, with injuries and things. Yep. This number might be coming off a bit, but. Good point.
And that really makes Liverpool defense the standout defense for the next five, Mariner.
Perhaps,
but there's a caveat there with Quiven Kaya, right?
Yeah, how long Alisson's injured for, we don't know, do we?
Yeah.
We've got the same thing with Liverpool. We've got a big green line across, haven't we?
Yep, big green line. The central matchup for Spurs for the next five stands out at 20 as well. So I think Son is a must hold if you have him.
Do you have Saka? No, I don't have either.
You don't have either. Wow, who do you have that you can get to Son?
No one.
Oh, no one because you have Trent.
No, not yet, but I might do.
Right, you have Trippier.
Yeah,
so that's an interesting one that pops, and then Arsenal's right and Liverpool everywhere.
Yes, Liverpool everywhere.
and the best headed matchups in the next five is Forest, which you're not buying Forest players, and West Ham. So like really, Thomas Soucek at 4.9 could be the new kind of like if you can't get to Cole Palmer anymore, if he's gotten too expensive. I think Thomas Soucek is a fantastic alternative.
Yes, you know what? That's an interesting one. Yeah, I quite like that. I quite like it. I mean, like I say, I just think you've got one slot. I've got marvelous Nakamba, who's now flagged as well. Not that he's been doing anything for me.
That's right.
You know, let's face it, I played him in the double game week, and I think he got 3 points or something like that. So wonderful, marvelous. but yeah, maybe I should take. Maybe when I eventually get some time, Gabe, to be able to make a transfer without having to panic and fight fires, which I've been doing all season, or it seems like it. Maybe I might transfer Nakamba out one day and bring someone else in. But anyway, shall we have a look at the captaincy metric? Oh, in fact, no, we're not captaincy. I've just realised. I'm just looking at the slides now. The next one's the next one's the talisman slide. So as usual, yeah. I'm losing my train of thought. But there we go. And now I'm going to move that so I can actually see what's going on my own screen here, because I can't read that. And it's a bit small, actually. But look, what I'm seeing on this right now, this is a talisman for the next 5 and 10 game weeks. So who stands out with respect to talisman? Well, Salah. 4.33 involvements in the next 5 and 8.11 in the next 10. Top by distance. His expected involvement is 44%. His actual is 67. So you can argue that if that's not overperformance, if that's just being good, Gabe, these numbers could be even better than that.
Mm-hmm.
This bases off expected. The second mm-hmm. player in the list is Mbeumo. Mm-hmm. Again, nailed. 50% expected involvement, 56 actual. So closer. But Brentford's matchups, XG matchups, lower, 9.84 for Liverpool against 7.84 for Brentford. But he's still got 3.92 involvements. And in fact, this game week, 1.09 involvements.
That's like Solanke levels in game week 13.
Yes, it is. And his matchup, even with the blank for 10, is 8.09. He's a hold. He is a hold through the blank.
For sure.
Okay.
Are you... No, go ahead. Go ahead, then. I'll ask you.
I was going to say, the next one is Watkins, third. Now, their matchups are not too bad. They've dropped off a bit, but 8.35. He will get... They're predicted to get 3.92 involvements from 47% expected. But actually, he's underperforming. 38% actual. So, you know, has he had a bit of bad luck? Someone else can't finish things? Who knows? Watkins is a firm hold for me. He's just Mr. Consistent, 8.22 in the next 10. So that's the top three. The rest of them we can obviously cover later. Fourth, Palmer. Fifth, Haaland. Interestingly enough, and I'll just point this out, look at Manchester City's XG matchup in the next five game weeks. It is a third lower than Liverpool's. A third lower. And Haaland should still get 7.78 involvements in the next 10. So he's a firm hold. Then who have we got? Solanke, Hwang, Son, Decore, Gibbs-White, Darwin, Jackson, reading down from there. So that's just a rope. Gabe, you want to ask a question?
I was wondering, like you said, Mbeumo's a hold through 18. I mean, I totally agree with you. Easy hold, especially since he'll be going up in price and you'll lose value. But I wonder, are you free hitting in 18? Do you know yet?
I haven't even thought about it. Not even contemplated it. My plan is probably not to, because I don't think I'll be owning that many of them. So maybe I can just go through it and see how we go. Mm. Let's see. I've not even thought about it, mate, to be honest with you. And I'm not sure whether I'm going to wildcard in 19. It feels too early to me. Yeah. That's my feeling anyway. Okay. So that's that one. Whoops, hang on a minute. Let me just press the wrong button. Let me just go back to it again. Oh, dear. Sorry. It's a bit tricky here from like two tin cans and a piece of string up in the north of England. There's your prediction for – there's one of your predictions. I've picked two players out here this week. I've picked out someone who's very obvious in Watkins. And then you see behind him is McGinn, actually. And Diaby's fallen away, Gabe. So Diaby's involvement's fallen away. He was second last time. But if you look at Watkins' involvement, you know, you can see there his next five below. And again, I'm struggling because of the screen. But from my perspective, Watkins is a solid hold. And another player I've put up, and he's cheap, but actually Hwang, even though with Wolves' XG matchup being 14th, he's actually sixth best. Now, Lamina's injured as well now, I think, so he'll probably fall off. Which I didn't obviously spot until a few minutes ago. But absent Neto, I don't see anybody else for Wolves. So I don't think we would go there, but I'm going to just say this. Just watch him, because he is the sort of player who may become a bit of a talisman going forward. So he's like the one to watch. He's my little watch list man this week. He's just creeping around in about sixth or seventh place, just behind Solanke. So anyway, so that's that. Let's go to the captaincy, I suppose. Let's keep going. I will play the jingle and then we will get into it once I can find it. Here we go. Ready? And the captaincy metric. I'm going to show the graphic first and then we'll go into the numbers, Gabe. For those who can see it, the captaincy metric has Salah top, 95. That is very high for a single game week, Gabe. Very high.
Mm-hmm.
Fixture difficulty is 94. These are percentiles. Net XG, 95. Expected goal involvement, 98. Big chance involvement, 98. Zonal involvement, 99. It's very, very nice. Mbeumo, 91.
Wow.
Very good matchup as well. Mm-hmm. Darwin, third, 86. And Haaland, 82. So I think our metric doesn't. I mean, obviously it doesn't. We've explained, we've given the caveat why the metric doesn't like Haaland this week. The metric has picked Haaland loads of times this season, hasn't it? But at the moment, this one, it really likes Salah. It likes Mbeumo. Darwin's an outside captaincy shout for me. It doesn't see Trent, quite frankly, because he hasn't had many hauls. But you never know. He only needs a couple of hauls, and Trent could be up there in the future as well. But yeah, that's the from the perspective of the actual metric. If we look at the numbers, and again, I'll start with the screen, and then I'll put the what I'll do now is, in fact, I'll switch into the graphic there so you can see it. So, is there what we've got here? There's only a few things I'm quite interested in, really. Interesting enough, Darwin's points are down. You know, I'm not quite sure why. Mbeumo's returns are a bit on the low side. Haaland's fixture difficulty we don't like, but NetXG does. So if I was to change Haaland's fixture difficulty up to 78 to match your, it puts him to 88, so it still doesn't take him up to the top. And the only other player I'd be interested in actually amending this week is Isak's minutes. So if we move Isak's minutes to 80, if it's ever going to work, it puts him up to 82, so it doesn't bring him into the frame, Gabe. But look, from my perspective, I think it's a two-horse race this week. I think the only thing which probably goes against Mbeumo is his returns, whereas Mbeumo hauls or blanks. Whereas Salah is a lot more consistent. So it depends what you want. You know, I think Salah is the better pick. I think the fixture difficulty and NetXG matches up, and the rest of it is too close to call. So my gut feeling tells me it's a Salah captaincy this week, even though I do like Mbeumo. I think a Salah captaincy, along with another Liverpool asset, at least one, could be very interesting. What's your perspective?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's... I don't know. I wouldn't go Mbeumo, but I get it. I think, but it's more like it's the blank. It's that potential low. And then if one of the other ones bangs, then you're really in trouble. So I'd go for actually, is Salah higher owned than Mbeumo?
I'd have to check without
Salah's looking. Salah's about 48.5%. Mbeumo 27%. Yeah. I think the stats are unanimous. The tactics line up with those stats. Like everything points in that direction, and all the other ones maybe have some warts. And so go. I think Salah is the clear choice for me at least.
Yeah, I'm just interested why it's in the fixture difficulty. It's interesting how it doesn't like Manchester City, but that's because the numbers we've pointed that out today, haven't we? So yep. As to why. You know, not to say he can't get his involvement. So actually, whilst the fixture difficulty is not great, you can get some solace from that by looking at Haaland's involvement at 94, big chances at 93, and zonals at 99. So again, it doesn't mean he's a bad pick. I think it'll be gut feeling tells me it'll be straightforward two-horse shootout between Salah and Haaland this week, with respect to captaincy. But we'll see. But we maybe think it might be a two-horse shootout between Salah and Mbeumo. But, right. So that's that. So there's all the questions. There's all the information. Terrible. That was a bad picture, wasn't it? let's any questions we've got just for 10 or 15 minutes, and then let's get out of here.
All right. We're going to go to Discord here. Parmo, which I think is FPL Eric, right? New member. I believe he's in the chat. He comes in with the first question. He says, Alvarez out for the run-in, contemplating bringing in nailed players like Solanke, etc. NFO picks you're interested in for the good run ahead? No NFO picks for me. Without Awani out like that. But Alvarez out. I don't think I'd go Solanke.
Taking Alvarez out right now, and I had the money, it'd be Isak.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. Isak is the prime target in for forwards.
Yeah. And if you don't own Watkins, I bet he does Watkins.
Prefer Isak to Watkins.
Yeah, maybe. What,
misses too many big chances.
They don't call him Woodworkio for nothing. They don't call him Woodworkio for nothing, mate.
Well, like look at all these forwards that miss out. Watkins, Jackson, Nunez. They just you can't watch the teams if you own these players, so that's why I don't own the players.
You might end up putting your foot through the telly. That's if you can get it. Unless it's on the wall, then you might just throw a shoe at it. But
I'll have to stop watching. Yeah, I'll watch other leagues anyway. Don Black Dragon says, Trippier or Mbeumo, who is a better FPL asset for the next few weeks?
Mbeumo, 1,000,000%.
Kieran FPL Discomfort, is Sterling worth bringing in this week for Diaby and opting for long-term over Palmer?
Do you know what? I don't dislike that, actually, because it's something I've thought about. He is showing something. Sterling is very much a confidence type of player. Once you start seeing him, his little low center of gravity, once he starts zipping past players, we saw it earlier in the season as well. I actually quite like him, and I think maybe Sterling is the better long-term, but he's clearly more expensive. Maybe Sterling is the better long-term pick, and I don't hate it this week. I just don't know whether he is the best pick this week. There we go. I think that's the way I'll put it.
I don't mind it in general because of the way he's playing and how he's been recently, but I don't think this is the week to get him. I just think it lines up for the other side a little bit better this week, so I would go in a different direction. Yeah. But Kieran is a different direction, so I bet Kieran will do something. and honestly, I hope it works out for him because why not?
I mean, it's not a bad pick for the long term. If he's not wildcarded in 19. Actually, very good. There's some really good fixtures in the next 10. So,
for me, I want to see how Nkunku affects the attack.
Yeah, because that's what Michael's actually saying in the chat. Isn't Nkunku a threat to Sterling and Palmer? Rumored to be on the bench this week. There's another player we might want in our teams in the next few weeks, Gab.
Straight in for me. Straight in. I'm not even going to hesitate. That's
like a rat up a drain pipe.
Holland, Isak, Nkunku forward line for me. That's what I'm looking for. He's going to impact the team in a certain way. He could hoover up all of the chances. Kieran is a different
direction. Well, my son's a different direction too, Kieran. So there we go. Another Kieran. It's another Kieran story. Thing. If you're still listening.
Next question comes to us. We're still on Discord here. If you are interested in joining the Discord, become a member and you'll get all your questions in here. Is Mbeumo a must? Yes. Should I sell Martinelli to Saka or just keep as is? I would not go Martinelli to Saka.
No, I mean, Martinelli to Saka, and whilst we're on about this, we've got another one. Martinelli to everyone wants to get rid of Martinelli. Ignatius here wants to sell Martinelli to Morgan Gibbs-White or to Gordon or just hold the free transfer. I think Anthony Gordon if I was going anywhere. But yeah, I think Anthony Gordon for me.
So who is this? Sebastian, right? So Sebastian he's asking if he should sell Martinelli, but he has Mitoma and Diaby.
Oh, great. So he's got nearly as many fighters as me.
Yes. Look, I mean, so
maybe you've got all the things you've got to do first.
Mitoma to Mbeumo. Easy.
Yeah, obvious.
Any questions starred here? I think we've covered most of them on the way, but we do have one here from Black Screen. What about starting Archer?
Yes, that was one which we missed. It just popped in just as we left that one, didn't we? I can't remember the matchups actually for it. Let's have just remind ourselves what the matchups are for that one, which I can't find, unfortunately. They weren't great, were they? I think both of the matchups were pretty boring or pretty meh. For for Sheffield United and Burnley. 0.7, minus 0.6. I think Sheffield United are a bit of a busted flush. What's your perspective, Gabe?
I mean, I'd want to know why you're starting Archer, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he's not injured.
He's startable. He's startable, yeah. But we're saying start Charlie Taylor, right?
Yeah, we are. But I mean, if he's got an injury and perhaps he's got other fires to fight, then yeah, by all means, sling him in and hope for the best against Burnley. But Sheffield United have been pretty poor this season, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah. Then come. I'm looking at Diaby to Mbeumo this game week, and as I only want two Man City / Brentford players with game week 18 in mind, Alvarez to Isak. I'm not reading the next part. I have two transfers. Yeah, I like that a lot. Diaby to Mbeumo, Alvarez to Isak, bank him in.
Or Darwin Nunes. You read the full question out.
I don't see that. Where is it? It must be something wrong with my screen.
Really? Liar. I mean, look, I actually quite like Darwin Nunes actually this week. Oddly enough, I think, you know, if I'm honest with you, a little devil might tell me to go Darwin Nunes, but I'm not. I wouldn't go that way. But I do like it. I do agree with you. I think Isak's a great pick going forward.
So here's just really quickly. I don't know how to pronounce it, but I'm going to try. Måns Akne Andersen says, good day. Was I the only one transferring out Gordon for Eze before the games? So Nima transferred out Gordon, despite the fact that we told him to transfer out Bowen. He transferred out the healthy player, and he got burned hard for it. So, yeah. I was a bit ruthless in the chat when he said that he was looking for compassion. I had none.
I was going to say, you said about Kieran, FPL discomfort. I think his name is really apt, right? Because he's just said in the chat that he captained Archer twice in back-to-back game weeks.
Oh, sorry. I told you, Kieran is a different direction.
I love it. But, you know, look, the game's hard enough. Without doing
exactly
that.
Exactly, game's hard enough.
The game's hard enough. Let's have a look. What's Clinton saying? Minus four to bring in Gabriel or Zinchenko for cash and Diaby to Gordon. Cash and minus four to bring in Gabriel or Zinchenko for cash and Diaby to Gordon. Or just use the one free transfer and make another move next week. Villa players, my weakest link. Yeah.
I do both.
Oh, do you know what? I'm half tempted to just give them a go against Bournemouth.
I just don't know if they're going to play.
The matchups aren't bad. Well, if you don't play, yeah, good point. If Cash isn't going to play, but I mean, is Diaby really, you know, was it tactical or was it just the fact he was crap? I didn't see the game.
It's happened before this season. He's been subbed at halftime before. Right. And sometimes it's tactical, sometimes it's because in this game, I think it was both. It was tactical and he just wasn't involved. He was one of those games where he's floating, the ball is kind of going around him and he's floating in the spaces between the passes of the ball. And that's happened several times this season. So it's just a thing that's going to happen sometimes. I mean, I get the Bournemouth fixture. Maybe do one if you can go to Gordon, but if you need the funds to get to Gordon, I say just do it.
Yeah. I have to say, Gordon is looking possibly the way that I'm maybe looking at Gordon myself as being one of the moves. Eze to Gordon, I think.
Diaby to Gordon, right? Diaby's 6.8.
Well, Eze as well, right? But yeah, Diaby to Gordon.
No, but for Clint.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
Keep cash. So don't do the minus four. Keep cash. Do Diaby to Gordon.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's fair. Right, hang on a second. Sebastian is on, just tuned in the middle of the night to say hi before the UCL starts. Cheers, everybody. Yes, Sebastian, I really do not miss being in the Asian time zone. Don't miss it one bit. Where are you, my friend? Are you in Singapore or are you in Malaysia? I'm not quite sure. But yeah, I think that's an 8-hour time difference for me, which probably puts in the, well, that's in the middle of the night. So well done. Mm-hmm. Thanks for turning up as well. And I think that's it. Galatasaray 3, Manchester United 3, final score. Gabe, just a couple of little bits we've got to do just to finish. The mini league, HUP69D, if you want to come and join the free one. Hall or nothing, Gabe, I can't read that. Can you?
Yep. Number one, R&D 11, 59 points this game week, 862 overall. Number two, Redder Than Red. I'm just going to go through the names. Redder Than Red, number two. Green Eggs and Sam, number is in third. Kinder, not Mbomo, Kinder. Kinder Mbomo, Ben Jones, Apps United in fifth, Get Their Attention in sixth, my Dingerling in seven. I'm sorry, Nick Jackson is number eight, Ekdal Shawal number nine, and then tied for 10th is Botman and Ruben and FPL Safe.
There we go. And thank you, Haulers. You'll do that as well. I say I can't read.
Here we go.
I can't read anything, so go for it.
Start with the super haulers: FPL Robbie, Greenback Golf, Daddy Bot, Jonathan, Harbor Boy, David Harrison, Zach, and FPL Discomfort. And our haulers: Dread FPL, FPL Craig, Podna, Kevin Rose. That's FPL underscore Saffer, Connor Hunt, Blonde, S. Scotters M, FPL Teacher. Donny FPL, Tom Gorsuch, Tavinder Raj, Lindsay O, FPL DG Boy 88, Akshay, Dom, Claire FPL, Tursix, Catherine A, Harry Not Kane, Sebastian Koo, Benjamin Lockwood, FPL Rubber Ducky, Nick Khan, Big Mike, General Zod, Jack M.
Now we haven't changed that slide from last week. I know. It's all right.
Antoni Santonopoulos, TN, FPL Planner, Jamie Baker, again, FPL Plan, Brett M, Mark Bond, FPL Eric, Grady, Paragak something, Elron, FPL California, Thingamabob, Ron Frosk, and Mike Burke. Thank you all. Love you all. Thank you.
It's all right. I'm getting interrupted here. It's quite entertaining. I can't get my dad keeps walking in. Anyway, and on that note, I think, look, we'll just finish with a general comment from Kieran, FPL Discomfort. Yep. Cheers, both. Great show. Finish pre-Arsenal. Nemeless is optimal efficiency.
The show would have been 2.5 hours with Nemo.
Thank you, Gabe. It was a pleasure. Thank you, haulers, green arrows. Please, I will post my team on Twitter or X or what the hell it is these days, just to make sure you don't make my transfers this week. If you are thinking about Trent Alexander-Arnold, look away. That's all I'm going to say. Gabe, anything you want to say in your last words before another disastrous game week?
I'm looking forward to this disastrous game week. I'm happy I'm not checking rank. And matchups will be posted likely tomorrow, whether morning or afternoon. I'm not sure yet. I'm going to try. But that's it.
My talisman stuff will come out tomorrow at some stage as well. So, yeah. Okay guys. Nice to see you all.
Thank you to the haulers.
And thanks, Gabe. And we will see you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Peace.